Local historian Chris Robinson joins us on the Sunday Supplement. Chris, nice to see you.
And you, Tim.
Now, you've got a bee in your bonnet this month.
Well, I have. You know, the BBC are running a six-part series at the moment, I think six parts, on celebrities taking camera crews to cities that were badly bombed. And, of course, Plymouth, as usual, is completely left out, ignored. And it does bother me a little bit because I think... And the maths are there or thereabout, that per head of population, pro rata, obviously London much bigger. Plymouth was about as badly bombed, if not more badly bombed, than London, and certainly worse than Liverpool, Birmingham, Coventry, in the overall scheme of things. Yeah. And yet, you speak to a lot of people outside the West Country, and they don't know about the story of Plymouth, unless they've been down here and seen the new city centre and said, why have you got a new city centre? You know, where are your old Victorian city centre buildings? And... I remember a young lady coming from the BBC about 20-odd years ago now, before we made our own film about Plymouth in the war, and she said, we're thinking of doing a programme, what material do you know about? And at the time, I hadn't done any work on it. And I asked her to let me know how she got on. And a few months later, she rang me back and said, we're not going to do the programme, we couldn't find enough material.
Oh, right.
And I thought, how is that?
Yeah.
And when we did ours, we went to the Imperial War Museum, we went to Pathé, and we found that there wasn't a lot of stuff marked Plymouth because actually it was marked Devonport, or it was marked Stonehouse Barracks, or it was marked Mountbatten because that's where the RAF were. And if you think about it, Plymouth, all right, we had the Citadel and Crown Hill Barracks, but Crown Hill Barracks were outside the city limits at that time and more inclined to be lumped in with Devonport. So Devonport was the prime target, really, apart from the demoralisation and the bombing of the city centre to try and demoralise people that worked in the dockyard and the munitions and the armed services. But nowhere else had all four branches of the armed services. And although there was only 1,300 deaths, which compares nothing to some of the European places that the RAF bombed, it still made it outside of London. Pretty awful. And the number of houses that were damaged, slightly damaged, but I think there was something like 4,000 houses, almost 4,000 houses that were completely destroyed and people rendered homeless. You know, it was a very, very difficult time for Plymouth. And the story, we are very familiar with it down here, but nationally, not so.
Well, that's interesting. Very interesting. Now, just for those who are too young to remember it, how long did the Blitz last in Plymouth?
Well, the Blitz was really... That they refer to the nights of heavy bombing, which were in March and April 1941. It was in March that Plymouth got it over a couple of nights and four or five nights in Devonport in April. But essentially, the first bombs fell in Plymouth shortly after France capitulated and the Germans had access to the flying bases, which was in the summer of 1940.
Yep.
And the first deaths were in July 1940 at North Prospect when bombs landed there. And the last raid that had fatalities was in 1944, October 1944, I think it was. So that shows you that it was 5 years, really, that we were... There were 600 occasions where the sirens went off and 59 times bombs were dropped on Plymouth in that five-year period.
And you told us before about the fact that for a period of time, thousands of Plymouthians were leaving the city every night to try and avoid the bombing and sleeping on the moors and getting as far as Yelverton and so forth.
Absolutely right, as far as their legs would take them in many instances if they didn't have access to lorries or other forms of transport. And of course in the early years of the war, people were evacuated, young people were evacuated down here because until the fall of France, then it was assumed that the Luftwaffe wouldn't be able to reach this far west. But of course that all changed and my father was one of a whole generation of school children that would have been evacuated out of Plymouth mainly into Cornwall, various parts of Cornwall.
Very interesting. Now I see you have a book in front of you. Is that one of your books of the World War II?
Well, yes and no. It was Pat Twyford's book. I was going to write my own book on Plymouth during the Second World War and I went through all the material that I already had and Pat Twyford, he was the Morning News Evening Herald war correspondent at the time. And I reread his book and I thought, well, he was there, as Max Boyce would say, and I wasn't.
Yeah.
So it was the voice of authenticity that I went for in the end because his book was reprinted, I think, about four or five times before the end of the 40s. It came out within months of VJ Day. And I thought, well, I can't really improve on that in a way. So I got in touch with his daughter and, cut a long story short, arranged to republish it because his book only had about 20 or 30 photographs, and we've put 500 photographs, which bring the text graphically, horrifically alive.
Well, the book is called It Came to Our Door, H.P. Twyford, and revised by Chris Robinson. And that's still in print, is it?
It is still in print, and I'm the proud possessor of H.P. Twyford's typewriter, which his daughter gave me the book that he put the original book together.
Well, hopefully in 50 years' time, somebody will be sat here saying, well, I knew Chris Robinson and I got hold of his book, but it didn't have enough of this in it or that in it. You never know. Chris, always good to see you. Thank you so much.
Cheers.